FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the Stonkingly Gorgeous Jill Sucking.
We're all trying to resist the mince pies. So far, there's one left.
They're all arguing over the last
rolling
one.
Rolling about in the studio.
There's three of them here eating six mince pies. In my maths, that's two each.
And actually, it's and two at three each.
There is what, three each?
It's two at three each.
Ah, right, okay.
It's you and I that are abstaining.
Oh, you're not eating them either?
Yeah.
You've given me away.
Yeah.
I'm defending you to Amanda. You can defend me to Jackie.
Okay, cool.
Why are you abstaining then?
You got there first.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Mind you, Dazzle did have his own sandwich box.
That was very good. Yeah.
Cheese and jalapenos.
Jalapeno, yeah. Wayne Cunnington has ex-tweeted and he says, it really did look nice about my breakfast, of course.
Yeah.
Didn't it? But I'm sure it didn't last too long, even with a snack consumed during its preparation.
Yep.
Good show so far, guys.
He knows you, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Using the B-Bunker hashtag very avidly. See, there you are. And Sarah Marsh Collins has said, Carnes is in Sloane Square. And so I've already Googled it and sent it to the new husband.
What?
The restaurant that they had at the Diwali, the chef.
And what's the restaurant?
It's called Carnes.
Carnes.
Yes.
K-H-A-N.
Yeah, it's K-A-H-A-N, yeah. So it's spelt quite a different way.
Kahan.
Yeah, Kahan. It's contemporary Indian food designed to excite the palate. And it looks lovely, and it's in Sloane Square. So I've sent it to the new husband in the hope. Because, of course, my friend Michelle Roux, Le Gavroche, who loves me, darling, is closing Le Gavroche.
Yeah, I know.
Breaks my heart.
Talking about Indian restaurants in London, my youngest Stuart, a couple of years ago, took me to a marvellous, marvellous restaurant called Chutney Mary's.
Oh, that's very good, yeah.
Yeah, it was
did
wonderful.
Did you enjoy it? Stu,
I did,
you need to take him again.
I don't know. Stu at the moment is in Bali or Kuala Lumpur. Or
is he?
Langkawi.
Has he sent you pictures of what he's eating?
He hasn't told me anything. I just found out by accident that he'd gone to work in Singapore, but had, because he was in that neck of the woods, decided to spend a few days on the beach in Bali, and then he was working in Kuala Lumpur. And because he was in that neck of the woods, he decided to spend a few days on the beach in Langkawi.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and then he's going to Hong Kong, and where he's going to spend a few days after that, I don't know.
Oh, well, is it a holiday or
he's allegedly working. What he does, though...
He tags a holiday on the...
Well, he's the business development manager for Southeast Asia. So he goes to Singapore and Kuala Lumpur quite a lot. And while he's out there, because it's just a short trip to Bali and other exotic locations...
Rude not to.
Yeah, he takes a few days off.
I'm just wondering how many calories in a mince pie, because I've had one.
About 8,000.
No.
Don't read the box.
No, it must be at least 700, I would think.
It says five.
Five what?
Five
calories.
Yeah.
It's mostly fruit when you think about it.
Yeah, this is a PR talking, of course.
Yeah, it's mostly fruit, apart from the pastry and sugar.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, it must
say on the box. Let's embarrass her. It must say on the box how much calories.
Well, I've also had two, and I've got the third one sitting in front of me, so...
But it's nothing of you.
Yeah. Say that.
Yeah, he's built like a racing snake, isn't he?
Yeah, whip it. It's craning to see. Come on, though. Is it that's the thing, they hide.
Make it so confusing, don't they?
Have you ever tried the Marks and Spencers? I discovered this bar, and it's called the Big Something, the Big Mighty or something. And I got it because it just looked interesting. It's in a cardboard thing, and it's a chocolate bar, and it's full. You break it open, and it's got peanut butter in it and caramel, and it is absolutely addictive.
Sounds brilliant, to be fair.
The Big Thing or something.
What are you
said to the new husband,
I think it's 200 calories, 216. Per.
Oh, that's fine.
That's perfect.
Yeah, 200.
You've had three, though, so that's 700.
But I haven't had any sandwiches like that.
Yeah, but that's 700, and you've already had 600 calories for breakfast.
Nah.
So you're now over your daily limit already, haven't had lunch yet.
I know, I have that always. I've got my energy ball for the journey home and my nuts.
Oh, and you've got your little nuts. Bird feeder, yeah.
I'm so intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Your energy ball.
Oh, it's so nice. I love them. But she won't give me the recipe.
Right, I'm just going to remind you.
I'll get you a recipe.
I'm going to remind you of these two things again as well, just because I feel like it.
Yeah.
At Thursday evening, I'm presenting the ABBBBS,
will be heckling.
Which is Above and Beyond Bromley Business Awards
at
the Warrens.
I think I'm on the top table, Paul Andrews.
I beg your pardon?
I think I'm on the top table.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the lectern.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at the Warrens in Bromley, which I've never been to before, so I'm looking forward to that.
It's the new husband, a new experience. I feel sorry for, because I asked him to drive me there and pick me up as well, and I said, then he said, it's midnight, and he was a bit peeved. He said, the dog will never
only go. If you disco. Yeah. And I now know what I'm going to be speaking about on Friday on the Mindset Matters show with the lovely Zinat Nirani, because my PR consultant has just given me a few hints, which is why we have him as our PR consultant, of course. That's this Friday on this very radio station, Channel Radio, 10:30 till 12. That's Mindset Matters with Zinat Nirani, and I will be her guest this week. Right, what you got, Jules?
Well, Turkey Mill has been awarded 2 gold certificates in the South and Southeast in Bloom Awards for the best heritage garden and the best business landscape. And they've also won the best commercial garden award by Maidstone in Bloom, which is a first for a business park in the UK. So well done, Turkey Mill. Mm. And a seafront hotel which has been sitting derelict for more than a year is set to undergo a huge transformation back to its former glory, the new owners have promised. This is in Littlestone. It's the Gallivant Boutique Hotel in Rye, who have purchased the Romney Bay House Hotel in Littlestone last year and plans to give the venue a new lease of life. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners around the Romney area, and I'd love to, and also Rye, I'd love to know where this Romney Bay House Hotel is. Is it on the beach? Or is it with beach views, sea views? Do you know it, Paul?
It's in Littlestone, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know it. Do you know this place?
I don't know it, no, because it's derelict.
So you haven't been there for an afternoon tea?
So I haven't been there for an afternoon tea.
Or you could go wipe the cobwebs away.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to visit that. So that's great. Great news. I love it. I love it when a hotel stays independent.
Mm.
And I look forward to hearing about that.
I imagine they got a lot of work to do on it because it was derelict.
Yeah.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, fabulous Business Bunker interview with Darren. I love his values and the collaboration with others in the community to support positivity and meaningful conversations. And she said, hashtag better together. So thank you for that.
There's a coffee morning at Kenwood. It's a monthly and it's last Thursday of each month. Cakes and savouries are available. And the next one is Thursday the 30th of November, 10:30 to 3 p.m. And they say there's no need to book. You can just turn up. It's at the cafe, Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road, and that's Ward, W-A-R-D, Kenwood, and Yalding, Kent. And it's M for Mother, E for Egbert, 18-6A, H for Hazard.
Thank you for that. A former cinema that recently housed M&Co, which was a department store, could be turned into flats and a shop. An application has been submitted to build 7 high-quality apartments in the empty building that used to be the house of the fashion brand M&Co in Tenterton High Street. The High Street site, which sits at the top of the town alongside closed-store Boutica and opposite Boots, was first built as the Embassy Cinema in 1937. It has been empty since the fashion chain went into administration for the second time in January this year. We'd actually like a cinema, please. In Tenterton is what we'd actually like, but we ain't going to get one.
You've got a big telly, though.
I have got a big telly.
Yeah. I have to admit, prefer watching a good film at home now.
Right.
It's just comfortable. It's nice. I sometimes pay for films as well. Some of the new ones.
I think that Tenterton deserves a small digital Kino-type cinema.
Which is?
A small digital cinema.
Did you say Kino?
Kino. Kino is a small digital cinema in Hawkhurst.
Oh, okay. And how does it differ?
It only seats 90 people.
Nice.
It's got its own little intimate bar. And instead of having a projector screen, it's a digital screen. It's like a big home cinema.
Yeah.
It's been open all years now, Kino. Very popular. Mm. Very popular.
I think the intimate, the smaller ones are really nice. So if you can take a beer in and, you know, some whatever's quite nice. But, I sometimes sit by my wood burner with my dog and I just think this is lovely. I can't beat it.
Oh, guess what happened an hour the night before last?
Your dog?
No.
Cat?
With a TV.
Squirrel? What happened?
I could tell, you know when people start saying, oh, the Christmas ads have started appearing on the telly?
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what we had on?
What?
Love Actually.
Oh, already?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Already?
Amanda's sitting there working around on a laptop, and I walk in, and I go, hold on, I know that music. Right. I turn around, and there's Love Actually on the telly. Oh, no, it's not that time of year again already.
I know.
It's gone round quick.
The M&S advert's been, people aren't happy with that. I haven't actually seen the M&S one.
I've not seen it.
But the Aldi one I thought was really charming. I liked that.
They've upped their game though, haven't they?
Yeah,
they always do good ones now.
Yeah, yeah, they do. But the M&S one apparently is quite. In fact, I did see a bit of it on Twitter, and it's they're setting fire to Christmas cards.
I think they were trying to intimate that a lot of people got fed up with the tweeness of Christmas, but the way they did it look just more anti-Christmas.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
And
I think whoever devised the advert probably didn't think through the ramifications of how it would be thought about when they did it.
And they're core shoppers, you know, the core Middle England. But
this is one of the problems, without getting too ranty about it, when you employ a load of 12-year-olds, who don't really understand the demographic of the market they're working in, and they try to be either funny or political to the wrong marketplace, and that's bad marketing.
I just saw a bit of it, and it is on Twitter somewhere, you can see it, but the bit I saw, she had a, what's it when they do the creme brulee, the blower thing, she had that, and she set fire to all the cards, the Christmas cards. I thought, oh, that's not very nice. There were a couple of other things. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. I don't get involved in those kind of controversies, because 9 times out of 10 people are looking to politicize things anyway, and you know, both sides of the political spectrum have a habit of getting really wet around the underwear about things that shouldn't really get them wet around the underwear.
But saying
if you saw
that,
I mean,
the Aldi one was just very sweet, very heartrending and warm, which is what kind of
you.
Yeah, but for some people not.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It had animals in.
All I'm saying is that everybody takes offence at things these days.
Oh yeah.
Whereas what you need to do is either accept some of the things that suit you and ignore the things that don't, but everybody wants to make a fuss about everything.
Well, that's because of social media, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know who's second guest is next week. I think you've got Tony from IQ Property Services as one.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you might have a riding school for the other, because then you can throw in Stop the Cavalry for the Choosy Tunage.
All right, okay.
Because I'm sure you can't wait for that either.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love a horse. Will they bring one in to the studio?
I'm not sure who the other guest is. Let's have a look.
We don't normally plan in advance, Darren.
Oh, it's Mark Telford.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
My accountant.
The accountants, yeah. It's cool.
So it's not a horse at all?
No.
No. Tunbridge Networking, we've got their November 3rd Thursdays for you. This meeting is sponsored by Alistair McCluskey Wealth Management and hosted at the Oaks Specialist College. We'll be raising money, they say, for the school with a business card draw. And the Oaks Specialist College is in Cage Green Road in Tunbridge in Kent. It's on the 16th of November, again, 10:30 in the morning till midday. And there's also the lovely networking.
That's the whole point. Come on.
At Mount Chartwell. Is that where Winston Churchill used to live? I don't know. So you can enjoy a lovely walk and talk. And the walk will take around 1 hour with luncheon provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. You can meet outside the cafe at Chartwell. And it's National Trust now, but I went there as a 8-year-old, I think, with my mum and dad to see Winston Churchill's house.
Oh, was he still Prime Minister?
He was, no, I'm not that old. He wasn't there anymore. Anyway, this is in, now the National Trust own it, and it's in Mapleton Road, Westerham, 24th of November at 10:30, and all details on Kent Business
Radio. Was he not Prime Minister when you were born?
No, he wasn't.
Was he not?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I was only 8. Maybe he was.
Who was Prime Minister when you were born?
I know who the Queen was.
Who was, who was Prime Minister when you were born?
So no, I was born in 58.
Harold Macmillan.
No, it was not. I was born in 58.
Oh, it was definitely Harold Macmillan.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
I wasn't really into politics when I was born.
Were you not?
No.
Okay.
Did Churchill come then?
I beg your pardon?
When did Winston come?
What do you mean?
When did he arrive?
When did he arrive?
Yeah, it was before that, presumably.
When did he arrive as Prime Minister?
Would it have been around the 1930s or...?
He was around during the First World War, and he was a Member of Parliament during the 20s and 30s. Mm. And he became Prime Minister in 1940. He lost the first election after the Second World War. If I remember rightly, he was then re-elected briefly, but he died in 1965.
Yeah.
Because I remember his state funeral.
Yeah. I can vaguely remember his state funeral. And then when was Ted Heath around?
Ted Heath,
seventies.
Yeah, I remember that really well.
Because of all the strikes.
Because of all the strikes and the fact that we only had electricity 3 days a week. Yeah.
Well, that's coming again, no doubt. So you know, get your candles ready, everyone.
Anyway, enough. I want to talk to our guest. Yeah, because Tempest is fugiting, and we got a really interesting person to talk to, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to him.
I don't want to talk to you. No, I want to hear from Ian. I love property.
Do you?
As you know.
Well, we decided we're not going to talk about property. No, we are. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Monkey Show Mr. Ian Wood of Ian Wood Property. Ian, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the show again. The last time you were on, we talked quite a lot about domestic property, mostly because I was trying to flog my house.
Yep, we did.
Which didn't work for me. Nothing to do with you, because you're not in my area. But my house and others like it aren't moving, so I took it off the market and gave up. But what I wouldn't mind talking to you about this time, we can talk about domestic property as well if you want, but I'd like to talk about commercial property, really, and your views on the commercial property market. Now, you're based in that area of South London, Kent, which is Orpington area.
Yep, that's correct.
Yep. Which is, as somebody said earlier, is quite an affluent area, and it's quite a popular area. Except for you, Liz Cameras, which aren't very popular at all.
Big debate round our way. Big debate. I think more have come down than gone up, to be fair.
Absolutely. And not just that, the signage, all those signs everywhere.
They've been ruined everywhere, though. Yeah. There's graffiti over all of them.
But you know what they're doing now that I've seen on Twitter? They're putting these great big posts, metal posts, that can sink down or come up to Bar Row. Have you seen those?
Yeah, and even the vans. I saw one literally yesterday, and there was a big protest around the van.
What do the vans do?
They have the cameras on them that mount, and they can catch drivers who are skipping past the cameras on
the cameras.
There was one down in Sidcup yesterday on my travels, and there was a few guys around it with big poles and covering up the sign, and the van had quite evidently at some point had some paint thrown over it as well. So I do feel for the drivers a little bit, because they're just doing a job, right?
Absolutely.
And they get abuse everywhere they go, but it's a very hot talking point at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk to him. We could talk about that other nonsense. Are you happy to talk about the commercial market?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we spoke today a lot about residential last time. So part of my business is the commercial acquisition. So I'm working with a lot of businesses. So I'm more than happy to talk about it. I know the Whitstable lot and some of the Kent towns aren't fans of chains, but unfortunately I deal with a few of them. So,
First and foremost, give us a little bit of remind our listeners a bit of a background to Ian and what your background is and how long you've been in property, etc.
Yeah, so left school at 18, had no idea what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Handed out CVs to as many companies as I could. One that came back was a state agency, and that's sort of where my career started at 18. Worked for quite a few different estate agencies, first in the suburbs near where I live, then more central, covered all of that side. Veered off and started my own company about 2.5 years ago now. Okay. At that point, I met the managing director of quite a large bubble tea company. Commercial wasn't something that I'd really covered at that point. But that sort of led from one thing to the other, helping out, finding a few searches, you know, helping them place some stores up and down the country. That then turned into where I am now, which is I still do the estate agency. I've still got the estate agency on the resi side. But we also do, with my business partner, Barry and Stuart, we do a lot of searches for companies, placing them as Glasgow, Cardiff, Durham.
National.
All the way.
For empty properties, commercial.
Yeah, so there'll be, so in essence, a company will come to us and say, they might not be a company yet. They might say, we want to start a coffee shop or whatever it might be, a butcher's or whatever. We don't really know where to start. What we would then do is take that, get a bit of a criteria of what they are, help them establish the business if they're new at that point. So things like a landlord pack, so an information pack you can provide to the landlord to give an idea of the business, margins, design work, those sort of things.
Wow.
To give a bit of an idea. We work with all different companies to help them put that together. We can help them establish websites, things like that. We also deal with quite established franchises where it's more just helping them find the properties once they come. So in essence, either the franchisee or the corporate company or the one-man band will come to us and say, Ian, we want to start a shop in Canterbury.
Nice plug there.
Yeah, yeah. Where do we want to... where do we start, really? And a lot of people think you just sort of go and find a shop and just set up and it's nice and easy, but they don't understand the logistics around it or the... looking at the demographics, looking at, you know, what sort of other businesses are in that surrounding area, where's best to place them. And also, normally, a lot of the good deals go before they even hit the market. So one thing we've done is establish an incredibly good relationship with either landlords, commercial agents, etc., who know to come to us because we deal with multiple brands. We've done many deals with them as well. So they'll come to us first. So a lot of the good prime units, there's always high demand, so it's getting in with the right people at the right time. Canterbury's a fine example. Half of it's owned by the cathedral, so they won't take on certain brands in some of their shops because they don't want to damage other brands. But you could spend hours and hours walking around Canterbury trying to find a shop, or you can use someone like myself who will eliminate that process. And it's even things like the sort of rent-free periods that you can get when you're going for a lease for a rental property, which can really be make or break for a business. Absolutely. You know, not paying rent for 6 months is a huge deal.
6 months?
Yeah. We've done 9. We've done 12 months in shopping centres.
He's taunting me now, isn't he? He's taunting me.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those. A lot of people, same with residential, a lot of people haven't done it before, or they might not have moved for a long time. For a lot of businesses, they may not have the time if they're a big company, or they might be a franchisee who's never done it, or a one-man band who's never done it. You know, they do need that advice.
I mean, I think it's fairly true that quite a few franchisor companies have fairly strict guidelines on the type of properties you can operate from.
100%, yeah. You've got to look at all different things. And it's part of what our job is to understand and sit down with the actual franchise company and find out what they need. There might be certain requirements on electricity, air conditioning units, ventilation extractions, incredibly important for some businesses. It's understanding what those needs are. And to most people, they might think they have an understanding of that. But, you know, you can find the most beautiful shop in the most beautiful high street, but it might not work for that business. It might not have the stuff they need.
I want to ask you a question. I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I don't want to start an argument. Yes, I do.
Let's go.
But something that's really annoying me at the moment, and I'll explain why. Recently, in the last couple of years, the government there are planning regulations on commercial properties, and there used to be things like A1, B1, D1, C, which allowed you to do different things in different properties. Incredibly complicated. And too many things overlapped. But local councils were dogmatic about, you know, if an A1 premises is retail, you couldn't use it as an office. B1 is office, you couldn't use it as retail. And loads of people complained because those kind of things they bleed into each other. So a couple of years ago, the government changed the planning regulations, and now you get... there's basically a thing called E, which is a catch-all. If you've got category E planning, you can virtually do anything in it apart from one or two things.
Your restaurant licences, your late licences, things like alcohol licences, they still come separate. But the vast majority will be E, which, to be fair, makes it easier for a lot of businesses. But it does, you know,
This is a question, because I am really, really fed up with this. I've got some premises that have been categorised as E, but the local council have then written loads of caveats that basically undoes all the new planning regulations and goes right back to where we started by saying you can only use it for that because we've caveated it. Do you come across that a lot, or is it just Ashford Council?
It does depend on area. It really does. Some councils are a lot less bothered. different shopping centres, for example, they control their own kind of what they want in. So it really depends. But these are all things that, again, franchisees or new businesses, they just won't know to look for. And it can be quite a costly and lengthy process because you've got to go through the relevant planning. You might not even realise till late on that you need the relevant planning. Yeah. You're then waiting for that to come through. If you complete on the lease, you're paying rent. You're paying your business rates, which is another hot topic, but it can lead to a bit of a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I might need a lawyer on this, but but I do understand that if you do get 2 years to apply for retrospective planning.
Yes, but again, it's a headache and something that's then looming over you for quite some time. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's best to, if you can avoid it, then it's better. But again, it depends on what sort of business you're looking at. Certain businesses are far more complicated anyway. So, like the alcohol licenses are a massive problem. I'm working with a cigar company at the moment. Again, licensing around that is challenging.
Have you been following me around?
No.
We've just applied for alcohol licensing.
Oh, really?
Because we had to, which is an absolute nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I've really recently taken over a coffee shop, okay, that was in my premises but was franchised out to somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. They've gone and I've taken over the coffee shop. With an alcohol license, you need two licenses. You need a personal license, so someone that's personally responsible for the license, and the premises need to be licensed. So we put someone through the process, and it's a training course as much as anything to get a personal license, and we got the personal license. Thought we could then start selling alcohol, and the council said, "Well, you need premises license," and we went, "Well, our premises are already licensed," and they went, "Oh no, they were licensed to somebody else." Yeah, but. Yeah. It's the premises.
Yeah.
We haven't changed the building. But no, we've got to reapply for a premises license.
There's a lot of loopholes and a lot of problems that can come up with it. It really isn't easy. Things like listings as well on buildings. Yeah. Especially, I mean, Canterbury's a fine example as we're talking about
Cathedral
it.
Cathedral City.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's worse than that. Canterbury, the trouble with Canterbury, you stick a spade in the ground and you hit a Roman blooming wall or something and everything comes to a grinding halt.
Yeah. We're just launching a shop down there for one of the bubble tea companies, T4, that we're doing. That's going to open hopefully in the next couple of months, but again, it certainly throws up headaches, you know.
What's the name of this bubble tea?
So it's T4 T for you, but it's T4 bubble tea. So they're quite a large franchise. They've got 54 I think open now, but we've done a lot of the expansion. We do all of their property finance and that.
I know we're kind of drifting off subject.
Right.
I've seen a lot about bubble tea, but I don't know what it is.
Neither do I.
Well, I said I'll take you guys for one when it opens up.
It's
in
got tapioca in it.
Yeah, you've got tapioca. You've got it's in essence it's a drink that originates from Asia. Taiwan, in particular, is where T4's from. It's a cold tea that's brewed, cooked properly, and then you put tapioca in it, you give it a shake, so it has the bubbles of the sort of pearls, the tapioca balls, and then you've got the shaking of it that creates the bubbles at the top as well. But you'll see lots of bright coloured ones and fruit teas and things like that. So
they're always cold, are they?
No, you can have them hot as well, apparently. I didn't realise this until quite recently because I did the training.
Thinking about winter.
Yeah, no, they do warm ones as well, which when I was doing the training threw me right off because I didn't know we did them, but it was quite interesting.
I'm still stuck on tapioca myself.
Yeah. It's nice. It's like little chewy. It's all they're sort of like
chewy.
Quite chewy.
Yeah.
It's basically like the marbles. Tiny ones. It's like marbles.
When we were at school,
it's a lot better than it sounds. I promise you.
I know what tapioca is. my granddad was a
frogspawn. We used to call it frogspawn.
No, that was semolina.
No, we used to call tapioca frogspawn.
No, I agree with Jules on this one.
Yeah, school dinners, frogspawn, we used to say. But I love tapioca. I just can't think of it swimming around in tea.
It's got a sweet taste to it, so it's cooked in certain... I won't give away all the recipe secrets, but, you know, honey
it's
flour and things like that.
It's also gluten-free tapioca.
Well, here's a thing. Right, the Bromley Buzz team. So, Sarah Marsh Collins, not a fan. Zeenat Narani and I absolutely love it. And I've taken to enjoying the avocado one.
Oh, that's
the idea of a
revolting.
Tea.
Oh, she'll be down there sprinkling crunchy bacon on it.
coconut oil.
So it's quite an interesting
concept.
Will
they have nibbles at this bubble tea?
Yeah, so it's going to be, they're launching...
Tapioca.
Yeah. There's brown...
Thai nibbles.
There's sort of like, they do sort of Taiwanese biscuits. There's some... some new recipes coming out as well for some new foods to be put in. Sometimes we do waffles in some of the stores as well. So, yeah, it's incredibly popular in Asia, but it's one that's really grown in the UK. It's
right.
still very early, but it's... it's
I have yeah. seen places about...
bubbling up around...
yeah, I see what you did there. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just... Excuse me. Coming back to... high street properties and stuff, and you've been looking for shops for bubble tea. How is the retail space market going? You know, because a couple of years ago we talked a lot about empty shops everywhere and the fact that they were all becoming charity shops or nail bars or tattoo parlors or coffee shops, basically.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with high streets is they've gone through a really, really tough time. I mean, yeah. COVID hit, which probably sped up the process, I would say, but I think the process had already started. I think with a lot of online retailers now, a lot of people, especially younger people, tend to buy their clothes online. They tend to buy a lot of product online. Things that you used to go to the high street for, that has started to die off. And I think a lot of, even before COVID, a lot of high streets were really struggling.
Canterbury especially.
Yeah.
A lot of empty shops, aren't there?
Yeah.
And sadly, quite a lot of homeless around.
And this is the thing. They became, high streets were starting to become, and shopping centres as well, very... There's more and more retailers closing down, less and less people going to them because there just wasn't that need to go to them anymore. People would just go on ASOS.
And even if you did go there, you couldn't park.
Well,
or find anything in your size, and you had to order it online anyway.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah. You know. But the thing is that Canterbury, what it's got going for it, is lots of students, so loads and loads of students there.
Massive.
35,000.
Yeah.
The uni
and
students.
No A&E. Good that, isn't it?
Yeah, uni students are certainly, when you look at any university town, city, they're absolutely mad, but in terms of business. But yeah, when we look at it, one thing we've had to adapt to, say COVID just sped up what I think was inevitably going to happen, to be honest with you. What we're finding now is they need to be food and beverage because that's what brings people back down to the town centres at the minute, sadly, you know. Charities obviously get certain reliefs and benefits to open up. But even you think, I mean, back to my trade of estate agency, now more and more of that's going online. So you're starting to see the high street change. And I think the ones that embrace it and are looking for more experience-based things, like you've seen lots of things like Boom Battle Bar, for example, and these sort of cinemas and golf events and football simulators, those sort of things, they're bringing people back down to the high street.
Escape rooms,
definitely, all of these things is what landlords really want at the minute, because a lot of landlords are going, well, we've got all these big premises open, but they're not making any money. They're unhappy and they're starting to close down, and you're left with loads of empty shops.
Plus you've got to have staff that's standing around all day and pay them.
I wanted to ask about that as well. As you probably know, I've recently opened a new co-working space in Tenterton. I looked for ages and ages and ages for an existing premises, and what there was loads of retail premises, but the rental costs on retail, high street retail, was still incredibly high. Even though you had all these empty premises, and I couldn't kind of work that out.
Well, a lot of the landlords buy these, as you probably know as an investor yourself at times, you know, they're looking at their return of investment, and to them the numbers are important. If unless it's empty for long enough, then they might start looking at it. But the demand still for your sort of your average high street shop is still very much there. That the ones that are really struggling is the larger units, because there just isn't the retailers to go into them anymore. How many big companies have gone out, you know, gone bust recently? You know, you've got all these brands going out, so the shops that are in your 500 to 1,000, 1,500, those sort of square footage, they're still going quite quickly. It's the big ones, which they're now, you're starting to see more and more of them split the units. So they might have a 3,000, you know, size shop, 3,000 square feet. They'll divide it into two and create two 1,500.
Absolutely. You know, because the big corporate brands now, if they go anywhere, they go to, you know, like Blue Water or West Cross or one of the big
all the places I absolutely dislike. I hate shopping centres. I can't bear
They said the same about you, funnily enough.
Funny enough. But the minute I go in those kind of shops like Blue Water, my energy levels just go... You know, the lighting, the sound, I can't bear them.
They're not easy places to do business either, because certainly Blue Water, I know, I don't know if they do it with everybody, but they actually take a percentage of turnover for some of the shops as well.
So what you'll get is things like the railways and stuff like that, they opt more for a turnover deal. So you'll pay them a lower base rent, but then anything you make over X amount, you will then... pay them 20%, 15%, which can be quite a huge amount for businesses. But the playoff is that obviously in a shopping centre. So T4, for example, have got two in both Westfields, and they are the sales numbers they do are incredible. It's busy 7 days a week. So the playoff, and it's not just them; it's quite a lot of the brands we deal with.
So that's Westwood Cross in
Westfield. Yeah, sorry. So Stratford and Shepherd's Bush in London. Shepherd's Bush, they're just. Mm. It's 7 days a week busy.
But that's hugely busy, that area. It is. And money, of course.
It is. So the playoff is in most shopping centres, not all, but most shopping centres, you get a ready-made customer who are going for the day. They're more likely to... Mm. I mean, you go to anything and look at like a Starbucks or a coffee shop in any shopping centre and they are rammed because people go and grab a coffee or they're stressed out after an hour full of husbands all just trying to...
Absolutely.
Get away from shopping.
Not more shoes, surely not.
So all in the coffee shop to
my husband hasn't been shopping ever, I don't think, in 29 years.
I don't blame him.
I buy his clothes, I buy his shoes, I buy his trousers. He doesn't do anything about shopping. In fact, I asked him to clean the sink for the first time in the kitchen the other day. And he said, well, what with? So I said, well, with bark, because I'm getting tough now. It's 29.
And what did you say? Well, I normally use your flannel and toothbrush.
That would be good. Barkeeper's friend I gave him. And what did he said, well, what do I do with it? I said, just use it. And here's a cloth. And I marched off with my nose in the air and he sprinkled it in the sink and thought that was it. Mm-hmm. He literally thought that he could sprinkle it and it would clean itself somehow.
And does it not?
I mean, I'm looking for advice here.
The men
in the room are
we're
very
all
much,
shrugging.
Yeah. Oh,
and what happened?
Oh, my goodness.
We'll find out later.
So, Ian, in your business, it sounds like you're primarily looking for commercial retail type spaces.
Yep.
Do you ever get asked about office space or other kinds of spaces?
Yes, but the office space is a bit of a weird market because with the work from home stuff, there are a lot of offices sitting empty. So the value that I can add to that service isn't as much. And there's no complicated fit out plans or anything like that, really. It tends to just be, do you want this office space? Yes or no. We will help companies. Sometimes they've got a bit more specialist requirements. Or they maybe just don't even know where to look. But predominantly it's, we've done a few warehouses for companies who need that. So
I was going to mention that in Mid Kent, certainly there's a massive shortage of warehouse space and industrial units. There's also this funny thing came back talking about planning. I've got a number of offices that we're trying to rent out in Tenterson at the trading post, and we've been inundated with lots of people. We've had a vet, a poodle parlour, some psychotherapy type places, people that are looking to open premises that deal in that kind of area, and we're not allowed to operate that. We can only operate as offices. So I don't know where those kind of people would look to run their business. I guess they'd have to look at retail units.
Yeah. But the problem then comes is the high rents.
And the lack of parking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to drop your dog off to have it trimmed, you want to kind of park the car somewhere.
That's the thing. So a lot of them look for more what we would describe as secondary locations. So you might have a town centre, you don't really want to be in that because you're paying 50 grand rent to have a premises. So they'll look at somewhere that's a bit offbeat, but you've got parking.
Yeah.
And the rent's 20,000. But the reason they're coming to people like yourselves is, you know, the rent for an office is significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
But they're not allowed to do it. So they end up going to these sort of secondary locations. I mean, you see lots of nail salons and I deal with quite a few of those. They tend to go for secondary locations because people can actually park there, walk
and
in.
And not be paid, and not have to pay for parking.
Which is a massive pain, and I think a lot of businesses struggle with that as well, is the pay and display, the lack of parking. Even down to deliveries, it's something we look at, is where do you park the van?
Do you know, but Barnes High Street is really clever, because it's a very residential area, it's very she-she, but you can, if I go to my hairdressers in Barnes, I can park there after 11 a.m. So it's like, it's a really good idea, and we just don't have that in Kent that I've seen. So you can park there any time from 11 a.m, which is often when the residents have toddled off somewhere with their cars.
It's a tricky one, because you need to encourage customers to be able to park. And I think Alpington had a big thing recently where they were planning to put a big tower up and take down the Walnut Shopping Centre, and it caused a lot of outrage. One, because it was a huge amount of residents going into an area where the facilities maybe and the amenities aren't there, but also the lack of parking. If you put, you know, X amount, 100 more cars coming into the area, then where do you park? And that does affect local businesses, and I think a lot of people look at that and go, you know, it's not so great. I know we've seen a lot more pedestrianised high streets and things like that. Mm. Maybe that's an answer to some certain bits, but you've still got to have that parking elsewhere.
Well, our one in Whitstable, mine is Tankerton, and you only get an hour to park for free, and an hour isn't enough. Like, if you go to the hairdressers, it's not enough. And I'll often go...
Suits me.
There. Yeah, suits you. But I'll go pet shop, butchers, dry cleaners possibly.
But it's not even that busy of a high street, either. To deem it... The,
and it
great
stops,
fish and chip shop, though.
Yeah. Fabulous fish and chips.
It's an hour drive for me, but I still go down there.
Really? But it stops you. You know, I think if they did 2 hours, it would be a bit fairer. But because it does stop people, you can't always walk. You know, people always say, "Well, walk."
It puts
it,
you off
you
going,
walk.
Doesn't it? And that's the problem. And that's only going to encourage more people to go online.
Yeah. Or you know, you can go to the big Tesco and park at a supermarket for free. So we need to really nurture our high streets. It
definitely
bugs me this 1 hour thing.
We're kind of running out of time a bit, and it's fascinating talking to you about all these things. I want to kind of move along a little bit with properties and things now. Are you noticing a shortage of any particular kinds of commercial properties in terms of, I mean, we just talked about industrial units and stuff like that, but is there like the high street or a town centre, is there a shortage of particular types of properties there, or is it kind of easier to repurpose buildings?
No, I think there is a bit of a shortage still, because again, as a lot of shops are still opening up. I mean, as you see, as much as a lot of brands are struggling, there's also a lot of brands that are doing incredibly well. I mean, there's some incredibly, I mean, Gales, for example, they're a brilliant example of, they're popping up absolutely everywhere. Ollie and Steen, you know, these very popular cafes now and bakeries and stuff like that, they are expanding really, really quickly. So there are a lot of companies still doing very well. I think there's still a lot of people who are very keen to go into business and looking at spaces. So that, I would say most high streets, although you do see empty shops, there's normally a bit of a backstory behind it. They might be going through surrender of the lease, for example, which can take a bit of time. It doesn't mean that there's not someone already lined up for the next one, but once they come to market in most desirable areas or busy high streets, there is a bit of a lack of it. We're seeing new builds looking to incorporate more of like a village community feel as well. There's a lot more premises coming up on those.
You've got lots of empty banks.
Yes, well, they're hard to repurpose really, because they come with everything, you know, they're hard.
Counters.
Yeah, well, Lloyd's, the old Lloyd's Bank building in Tenson is just about to become a Domino's Pizza.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, did you notice that the NatWest is asking its customers to buy less clothes? And did you see that on Twitter?
Buy less clothes?
On their app, they are apparently, I saw on Twitter...
Well, they want to walk around naked.
They're asking
I've heard of being stripped by the banks, but that's taking it to ridiculous lengths.
Eco. So they're sort of nannying customers and saying, buy less meat, eat less clothes, you know.
Mind your own business.
On their app,
Try to operate a bank account that works. That's the best thing for
this
you to do, NatWest.
This is why I like to use cash.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't
spend less money on the high street.
It's okay for you, but you try being a retailer.
Yeah.
It's now cost
more to cash.
It costs more to put cash into a bank than it does to...
Well, I don't know how my butcher gives me a discount if I use cash. I don't know how they do.
It costs more to pay cash in. Well, maybe he doesn't pay it in.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe don't ask him that one too loudly.
Yeah. How much cash you take
on
your own business? Yeah.
But because he's got a lot of elderly in Tankerton. There's a lot of elderly customers who
absolutely
use cash, you know.
But you know what my thoughts on this are as well. I'm just saying that I spent Sunday morning driving to the bank to pay in a huge amount of cash because I didn't want it laying around in my coffee shop, because we had a lot of cash laying around and you don't want it lying around.
No, you don't. Mm.
They're never open though. That's the problem. They're only open between hours of like 10 till 1.
Well, luckily I bank with Metro and they're open Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, right. There we are. All down to Metro.
Good. Yeah. And Chase Bank, they're quite good, aren't they? Chase Bank? I don't know.
Yeah, but
they
haven't got any branches.
Oh, have they not?
No, Metro are the only people with any branches, and they don't call them branches, they call them stores, and they open it 7 days a week.
And what about the post office? Because they're quite good for cash, aren't they?
No.
You can withdraw as much cash as you want from the post office.
You can withdraw cash. Paying it in is really expensive in a post office.
Oh, okay.
It's £20 setup fee and 6p per pound to pay in.
Well, I use cash as much as I can for
thank you
many reasons.
It's costing me money.
Well, not in your, not in your workshop. I put it on your tab and I come
back. Yeah, thank you. we're kind of almost at the end of the show, Ian, so...
That's right.
Thank you for sharing that with us. It was really interesting. Just because it's close to my heart, co-working spaces. Have you ever been engaged to go and find a co-working space anywhere?
Well, I have an office in a WeWork building in Canary Wharf.
So, oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. So, unfortunately, yes. But yeah, no. I've looked at the co-working spaces. I think they're a good for all the reasons you said earlier. I think the network inside. I mean, me and Darren are both involved in a networking group, and it's massively beneficial to our businesses. And also, we were saying on the way down, actually, not just business. It's also the personal side of it. When you're having a bit of a bad day as a young or sort of an entrepreneur or whatever, sometimes you don't have someone to. Just have a bit of a moan.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. It's a very lonely thing. Yeah. Ian, thank you so much. Give us a shout for your websites and contact details, or best way to get a hold of you if people want to talk about either your domestic estate agency business or your commercial business.
Yeah, so you can get all of pretty much everything I do is on one website, which is ianwoodproperty.com.
Right.
All my contact details are on there and stuff. But yeah, whether you're a business or residential, we cover all sorts of side of it. We've got a blog written by Dazzle.
Is he any good?
He's all right. Yeah. So he works with me closely. So yeah, that's his
estate. I think I meant to write my own testimonial.
There we are. But yeah, no. You can check out anything I do on my website, which is just being redeveloped. So.
Cool. IanWoodProperty.com is the place to go. There's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website if you didn't get a chance to write that down. For the moment, until we see you again, Ian, thank you so much for that. Brilliant.
Thanks for having me again.
No, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We always want to talk about property.
Cool. Tracy Ferguson has said, parking is a huge factor when shopping. There are many places you can park for free or relatively cheaply still. Medway has free parking in some high street locations on a Monday, which is a really good initiative. And she says she can often find free parking a short walk from the town centre in most places. But I would say that Canterbury doesn't, because I avoid Canterbury now because of that. But for students, for bubble, perfect, because they're not driving.
Yeah. It's the same with everything, isn't it? People that work in politics, I was mentioning my feeling about politics to Darren the other day, they're so detached from real life. It's unbelievable. You know, they pass all these rules and go, you know, we're going to ban cars, and then they wonder why nobody's got a job and nobody goes shopping in their town centre.
Yeah.
Right, Maidstone Business Park, we're talking about commercial properties. Maidstone Business Park at Turkey Mill has expanded the on-the-ground team with the appointment of property expert Sarah Elvey to lead on 10 engagement, property management and support services. Sarah will take over from my mate, Director Dougie Lawson, who will be focusing on investment projects and improvement works for the 20-acre heritage estate, which is home to over 70 diverse businesses. Sarah joins with over 20 years' experience in property, having worked for Martin Waghorn, original letting agents of Turkey Mill, and is familiar with the estate and the community. Turkey Mill is a unique business park which has has been demand for workspace, particularly since COVID, where people want to remain connected to London but have more time outside the city without the commute. Tenants are drawn to the estate also thanks to its award-winning gardens and clean fresh air on top of modern workspace, ample parking and super fast digital connectivity. It's one of my favourite places, Turkey Mill.
KBS Business Soundbite, that's Kent leveraging LinkedIn for international business development. This is on the 16th of November at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, just for an hour, in person or live by an online platform. You can hear from Kent Business School academic experts, and also you can get they have their USED, which is Economic Support for the Ukraine Project. The full agenda and to register is on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a / calendar.
West Kent Mind, the mental health charity, have got their Big Give Christmas Challenge. Our Big Give Christmas Challenge runs from 28th of November to the 5th of December. For this week only, your donations will be doubled. So every pound you give has twice the impact. This means if you give £25, we get £50. It's a win-win situation. This year, we need your help to raise £4,500 so that we can deliver vital mental health support to those experiencing the heartbreaking impact of domestic abuse. The challenge goes live at 12 p.m. on Tuesday the 28th of November, and you can visit our website to find out more information about how any money you put in that week is doubled. So that's West Kent Mind. Do check out their website, westkentmind.org. Yeah, cool.
And the date for Tasey 64, her very first mixed media creative workshop, which will be on the Isle of Sheppey at Dockyard Church, which is Sheerness. It's £30 as an introductory offer, and she'll be sharing her joy in the mixed media creative for you, and it's on Saturday the 25th of November from 10 till 4 at the Beautiful, and I know that there's lovely goodies there too to eat.
Yeah. The Kent and Medway Business Summit on the 12th of January 2024, bringing together business, academia and strategic partners. You can be part of the conversation. You can now book your tickets and secure your place, and the best way to do that is to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, where you will find a booking link for the Kent and Medway Business Summit on the 12th of January.
And Marsh Network over there in Romney Marsh have a breakfast meeting at Base Point. It's at 7:45 a.m. on Tuesday the 14th of November. And you can book by going to marshnetwork.co.uk. A full English will be served, which also other options are available. Base Point is a great location, they say.
A full Belgian.
Next to the M20 junction to Folkestone, with good connections to Dover, Ashford, Maidstone, Romney Marsh and beyond. So that's 14th of November, marshnetwork.co.uk.
Fantastic. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's two guests, Mr. Darren Wheel, lovingly known as Dazzle by all of us, from InTune PR. Darren, thank you so much. To the wonderful Mr. Ian Wood of Ian Wood Property, thank you so much for your wisdom and expertise in the commercial property market this time. We'll get you back next time to talk about domestic property again. So,
sounds good.
Yeah, we love talking about property here. I'll put my house back on the market, so you can come and help me with that again. So, Mr. Ian Wood, thank you for that. To my stunningly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin, we'll be back with another show next week. Have a safe, secure and happy week, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for your emails. We'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.